Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Here's a guy who had been on top, representing God dramatically, powerfully, privately, publicly. Fire had came. He has just slaughtered 850 phony prophets, demonic men. I mean, he was on top of the world. It was raining. Miracle after miracle that took place in his life. And here he is, stressed out, burnout, depressed person. How does God deal with him? The sub-question. When we walk down this path, and we all have, and we all will, and many of us are today, from stress to burnout to depression, how does God deal with you? How does God deal with me?
The truth is, God wants you to live with passion for Him. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message called Avoid Burnout and shares proven truth to help you stay on fire for God when you feel spiritually exhausted. Stay with us. That encouraging message is coming up on The Winning Walk. Before we jump into Dr. Young's message, there's an encouraging resource offered this month you'll want to know about. It's Dr. Young's five-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering and difficulties happened before the coronavirus, definitely during, and will continue to happen after this pandemic. But suffering doesn't have to mean defeat. The Old Testament hero Job was an expert on suffering, losing his health, his wealth, and even his loved ones. And in this series, Dr. Young shares God's answers to Job's questions about dealing with tough times and gives you valuable insights to overcoming your own suffering today. We'll send you Overcoming Tough Times as thanks for your donation today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Avoid Burnout.
I want to pick up the end verse, the last verse of the chapter we looked at last week, and we've got more of Elijah to come in the weeks to come. And I want to read the 46th verse of the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. 1 Kings 18:46 reads, "Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and outran Ahab to Jezreel." Let's prepare for the teaching of the word. Father, we're excited about being in church. We're thrilled over the opportunity to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that your message and your words will penetrate every heart, every mind, every conscience that's gathered in this place. And may when we leave here today, there's one thing we'll know for sure. We have met with Jesus. Lord, you speak. Let me get out of the way is my prayer in always in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look at a little chart there on your screen. See it? Stress. We understand stress, don't we? A lot of times we have stress. It builds, it grows, it builds. We take on more things, more projects. and we think we've got great capacity, and all of us have different capacities for handling stress because we're wired differently, right? Some people, a little thing will happen, it will stress them out. Other people, it seems like they can have mountains put on top of them and they don't really feel any stress, but we understand stress. Medical science tells us that not heart disease, not cancer, but stress kills more people than any other single malady. So we understand stress. Stress leads to burnout. That's the next thing. We get under so much stress, we carry so much weight for so long, for over a period of time, we get to the point of being burned out. And burnout is a picture of you have something that's combustible, and it just burns and burns until it burns up, and there are coals, and then there are ashes, and they get cold. That's the picture of burnout. I don't care. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't have a passion for anything. I'm empty. I'm out of bullets. I wake up in the morning tired, exhausted. I'm bored. I don't really laugh from the bottom of my being. I'm exhausted, impatient. I'd be angry, but I don't have enough emotions left to be angry. I'm burnout. And from burnout, we go to depression. And a lot of people bounce in and out of stress, burnout, depression, and some move into clinical depression where you need a SOS treatment from many professional sources. And depression is a stage of quiet desperation. Now, of all people that we could name in the Bible or outside of the Bible as to what we discovered about God's guy for the 8th century, Elijah, he'd be the last person on the list that I would ever think would be caught up in burnout or depression. Stress, absolutely. Plenty of stress he lived under as we walked through his life. God spoke to Elijah and said, "Elijah, come out of obscurity and show yourself to the king." And that's what he did. And he pronounced judgment on the king and said, "It will not rain because of your idolatry and because of your sin. It'll not rain in Israel until I give the word. Show yourself, Elijah. Speak a word of judgment to the king." And following that, God said to Elijah, "Hide yourself." So he put him at the brook Cherith, and he stayed there for about a year, and God supernaturally fed him with food from ravens, and he had that bubbling brook to drink with. Then God said, "Get up, Elijah, and now go to Zarephath." He got up, went about 75, 80 miles to Zarephath, and then he was looked after by a poor widow. He was still in hiding. And then after about 3 years, God said, "Elijah, now go show yourself to the king." And we studied about how he went back to King Ahab and he proposed a meeting on Mount Carmel. And after I had delivered that study last week, I was flipping through TV and I saw an old movie entitled Showdown at OK Corral. Man. And I said, "That's what happened on Mount Carmel. That's exactly what happened." And we know the dramatic story of how the real God spoke with fire and power. You see, the people said, "We don't see any difference between Baal and Jehovah. You know, come see, come sign. One God, you know, like all the rest of the gods." But God answered with fire, remember? And he took the sacrifice, he burned up the sacrifice and the rocks, and the people who'd been neutral, they didn't say a word. "Choose you this day whom you'll serve, Baal or God," and they didn't say a word. But when God answered with a lightning, God, boom, with fire, all the people fell on their faces. They said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And then Elijah went and slaughtered all those demonic prophets who represented the demonic gods. And then Elijah went all the way back on Mount Carmel and he prayed. What a prayer. And that prayer had in it, how many words? 62. Short prayer. And then we know the fire came and Elijah went up in the mountains and he prayed again. He got down in the fetal position. He prayed 6 times. He said, "Now let it rain." And when he came down after praying 6 times, they saw a cloud like a hand. And he went to King Ahab, who was eating and drinking still on the mountain, though he had suffered a great defeat. He said, "You better get your chariot and get down this mountain, because there's going to be a downpour and you'll not be able to leave if you don't leave now." And so Elijah, that was our scripture, he girded up his loins. What does that mean? It means the mantle, the robe that he had on, he just took it and tucked it in his underwear. And he ran down the mountain. He ran down the mountain. As he was running down the mountain, it was raining. Let me tell you something. Go 3.5 years in Texas where not a single drop of water will fall. Imagine. Even with our modern backup facilities, imagine. That's what it was like. And now the rain had come. The people had said, "The Lord, He is God." And now Ahab is going down the mountain in his chariot. And here is Elijah with his robe tucked up. He is running ahead for 17 miles. And he outruns the king in his chariot. And he goes all the way to Jezreel. 17 miles. He is running. And he is singing in the rain, they're singing in the rain. What a wonder, glorious feeling, I'm happier. Or he was saying, "Raindrops keep falling." I don't know what he was. But man, what a moment for Elijah. I mean, what a guy. And he goes to Jezreel, and Ahab goes to tell Jezebel, his wife. And when Ahab knocks on the door, and he goes into the palace, and Jezebel said, "Things must have worked out well on Carmel. I see it is raining. It is raining. I knew my guys, Baal and his crew, I knew they'd come through. I never doubted it." You know, they're the God of fire and the God of the rains and the season and the harvest. "Tell me about it." Ahab said, "You know, give me a cup of that Jezreel Starbuck Java." And it didn't come out exactly like that. He told Jezebel what happened to all her guys, all her prophets. And Jezebel, look how she responds to this. Interesting. "Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, 'So may the gods do to me even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them,'" the prophets who were dead, "'by tomorrow this time.'" In other words, she put out a contract on Elijah, who was then in Jezreel, the capital of that area. Now, what we've known about Elijah thus far, think about it. How do you think he'd respond to that demonic queen saying, "I'm going to have you killed"? Fly. What's the big deal about that? I mean, he stood up against everybody in the land. He has just slaughtered 850 phony prophets, demonic men. I mean, he was on top of the world. It was raining. And the people have said, "The Lord, He is God." I mean, how's he going to respond to that woman? I think he'd say, "I'm in the middle of God's will. I'm bulletproof. I'm his guy. I'm his man. Do you know what happened on Carmel? Fire came down at my word. The rain came down at my word." Oh, threat. Isn't that how you'd expect him to respond? But look how he responds. It's staggering. "And Elijah was afraid and rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba." That's 120 miles from Jezreel. That's as far as you can go and still stay in anything in the Lord's land. He left the northern kingdom. That is in Judah. That's way down the southern border. That's as far as you can go. That's all, that's the end of Israel. He came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's." You want to see a classic diagnosis of stress, burnout, and depression? Listen to the words I've underlined in my Bible. Afraid, ran for his life, left his servant, wanted to be by himself. Sat down, said, "It is enough," out of bullets, exhausted. "Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my father's. I'm a failure like all the other prophets failed." Say, this is highly unusual, isn't it? Not really. Not really. Moses, Numbers chapter 11, after a great victory, said, "Lord, take my life." Jonah, after seeing a great victory in Nineveh, more people begin to worship God and a turnaround in their life than perhaps history has ever seen in Nineveh. And after that experience, Jonah in chapter 4 said, "Take my life." Here's Elijah, number one guy. "Take my life." You know, I said, "Elijah, all you had to do is stick around Jezreel. You know, Jezebel would take care of that. You don't have to worry about God killing you. She was going to do it. She had a contract out on you." What is this all about, ladies and gentlemen? Here's a guy who had been on top, representing God dramatically, powerfully, privately, publicly. Fire had came, miracle after miracle that took place in his life. And here he is. "It's enough. It's enough. It's enough. It's enough." What in the world's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. First of all, Elijah was mad at God. You say, how is that? All the people bowed down and said, "The Lord, he is God," but he went to Jezreel. They lived just like they did before the fire came. They lived just like they did during the drought, and now it had rained. And the earth was refreshed, and they had water, and healing was taking place. And they went back and lived just like they did before the Mount Carmel experience. And Elijah said, I don't get it. What more will have to take place for people to understand this? Understand that God is God. He is the real God. What's he going to have to do to convince you? So that depressed him. That disturbed him. And he said, I failed just like all the other prophets. So here is a stressed out, burnout, depressed person. Now, here is the question. How does God deal with him? The sub-question. When we walk down this path, and we all have, and we all will, and many of us are today, from stress to burnout to depression, how does God deal with you? How does God deal with me? The same way. Watch this. We're going to see that he deals with his guy, Elijah. What does God do? First thing he does, he sends an angel. The next thing God does, we'll see, he asks a question. The next thing God does, he speaks a word. That's how he ministered to Elijah. And I can tell you, when we have bottomed out, that's how he ministered to us. Watch how it happens. It's a powerful word of truth. Verse 5. He lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him. And he said to him, "Arise, eat." Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones, and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. the angel came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." What's the first thing God did for Elijah when he was out of business, washed up, washed out, out of the mainstream, defeated, ready to leave this world? What's the first thing God did? God sent an angel. What do we do when people are hurting and broken and depressed or just in burnout? We say, "Oh, you need to pray more. Oh, you need to fast. You'd better start reading your Bible." What's the first thing God did? He sent an angel. What did the angel do? He just had some rocks. He baked the cake. You know what kind of cake that was? An angel food cake. Are you listening? I mean, really. He baked him a cake, and he got a jug of water, and he put him to sleep. And notice he touched Elijah. He touched him. He needed fellowship, physical healing. And then he touched Elijah again. He said, "I've got you another cake. I got you some more bread and some water." And he went to sleep again. That's not very spiritual, is it? You see, sometimes when we're just beat up and down and empty, somebody gives a little pious talk and a little whining advice. Maybe we just need to go and spend the night by the sea. You know, take a nap. Look at some art. Listen to music. Go to a ball game. Walk up the street. Sit back, unplug, recover physically. Well, that doesn't sound very like, church advice. Do you think God is uninterested in your physical and my physical well-being? Did not he create us in his image, and a part of that must be our physicality as to who we are?
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
"For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Jeremiah 29:11. During the Depression, Ireland, the government hired many of the country's men to build roads. Delighted to get a paycheck to take care of their families, they worked hard, often singing their Irish folk songs as they labored. After a few weeks, the men discovered that the roads they were commissioned to build didn't lead anywhere. They served no purpose. They merely went off into the bogs, into the woods. Soon the singing stopped and the intensity of their labor waned. One commentator simply reported, "It's tough to build a road that goes nowhere." I would add that it's even tougher to build a life that goes nowhere. Follow God's plan. It is not only for your welfare, it is to give you a future and a confidence, a life that goes somewhere.
We hope the Holy Spirit is moving through today's message to help you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we want to help you even further by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering is an inevitable part of life, but God never leaves you alone in your pain, and He always gives you a way to overcome it. This encouraging series takes you to the book of Job and gives you straightforward answers to the real questions about suffering that we all ask, equipping you with the proven truth you need to experience victory in the midst of your pain. We're excited to send you a copy of Overcoming Tough Times as a thank you for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Join us again tomorrow to hear the conclusion of Dr. Young's message about how to keep the fire burning in your faith.